Welcome to the Assistive Technology in the Desert podcast. This podcast is sponsored by the Governor's Council on Blindness and Visual Impairments and the Assistive Technology Committee in partnership with Sound Sounds of Arizona. My name is B. Shapiro. I am the Assistive Technology Committee Chair. We are glad to be here. In today's podcast, our guest is Mark Nelson from Digital Apex, who is here to tell us about their company and services they provide, and Bob Kresmer, who is the GCPVI chair. Mark, thank you for being here today, and Bob, thank you for being with me today.
Glad to be here.
Also glad to be here.
So Mark, tell us about Digital Apex and what type of services they provide.
Okay. Digital Apex is a family-owned business. So my wife, Julie, and I own Digital Apex. We have one employee who happens to be our son. So clearly we are a family-owned business. We've been in business since 2011. We provide assistive technology products and related services. So related services means we do assessments to help people understand what is the best technology for them. We provide products, put it in place, configure it so it's all ready to just plug in and use. And then we provide the instruction that goes with it. And then finally, we produce a curriculum that is used by teachers of the visually impaired and assistive technology instructors around the country for use by them when they are teaching people who are visually impaired.
This is Bob Kresmer. Mark, do you specialize in people who are working or going to work or people who are retired, or is there any niche that you fill?
That's a great question. Actually, we work with everyone of all ages. So we work with students in K-12 and people who are in college and people who are in the vocational age range and working, or in the vocational age range and are not working, and people who are retired as well.
So the assistive technology that you deal with, can you tell us what is the type of assistive technology that you work with and that you can provide?
Okay, sure. So the assistive technology that we provide is all related to vision loss, whether the vision loss is mild, moderate, or complete vision loss. And the technology then ranges from magnifying text, both on a screen or hard copy, speech output technology, which means we can make a computer and other devices talk, computer, iPhone, etc. And we also work with Braille. Braille can be in two categories, hard copy or electronic. And then we work with technology that can take printed text, turn it into computer text, and read it. So that's kind of the quick overview. The more detailed description, do you want me to give a more detail of those two categories?
I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, okay. So magnification, there's a few categories here, starting from the big magnifying device that's designed to sit on a desk. This is normally used by someone who needs the magnification, but doesn't intend to take their tools with them. They have one place where they primarily work or sit and read. And what happens is there's a screen. Below the screen, there's a little table called an XY table. On that table, then you can place print, whether it's a single piece of paper or a book. And the image of the page is magnified up on the screen in large print. Now, it's not all about just making the print larger and solving the problem of being able to see the print. What's also very important is the color, meaning maybe the text being black with a white background is too bright. That white background might be too bright. So maybe the reverse is better, where we make the background black and the letters are white. But maybe even the white letters are a little too bright, too much contrast, too stark. So we might go with a combination of like a black background with yellow writing or light blue lighting, where there's still a lot of contrast, but the color of the letter is a little softer and easier on the eyes. And what we're trying to achieve here is being able to read for a longer period of time without eye fatigue. Another thing that's very important in this situation is lighting. How much light is around you, either above you or to the sides? For example, if you're facing that screen and right behind you is an open window with the sun coming through, that's going to cause glaring on your eyes. Or if the reverse is happening, the sun is coming through at the screen, now it's glaring on the screen, and that's going to cause a problem. So we also are looking at lighting to determine what position in the room is best. So when we work with all of that, the size, the color, the contrast, and the surrounding lighting, we find that sort of very comfortable magic size and all of that that's best for an individual. Now, we do that in all of the categories, but describing it when I'm talking about the desk magnifier, desktop magnifier is easiest. The next category down would be sort of kind of mobile, but not totally portable. I refer to these as totable. So you can move them. You might be moving them, you know, once a day or twice a day to work or from work to home, or from home to another place you're going to be sometime during the day in a meeting or a conference or whatever, and then back, but you're not moving it multiple times a day. Typically in this category, the screens are smaller, a little bit smaller. Smaller in screen size is not necessarily a bad thing. It might actually be a good thing depending on the vision condition. The next category down is what we call mobile or portable. And these are even smaller yet. They're designed to be moved from place to place to place many times a day. There's a couple of different categories here. There are devices that connect to a computer, like a laptop, and the screen of the computer becomes the screen that's used for magnifying the print. And so it doesn't mean you lose use of the computer screen. It's just that you're sharing the computer screen with that camera device, or it might be that that mobile camera connects to a different monitor that already happens to be in that place that you're moving to. And some of the portable devices have the camera and the screen all in one. So it's a dedicated device. It's still portable. It's still small, but it stands alone and is easy to fold up into a compact little packet and is light, usually around 7 to 8 pounds, and easy to move from place to place. And then the smallest category is called the handheld video magnifier. And these are the same technology. It's a screen and a camera, but it's all in a compact unit that you hold in your hand. The screen size can range anywhere from 4 to say 12 inches. We have to be a little careful when we start getting into those like 12 inch category, because the when they're that big, they just become harder to hold in your hands. But that's part of what we do, is assessing, is that size too small, or I'm sorry, too large for an individual to effectively use in a portable way, because of size and weight and how far away they have to hold the item from their eyes and all of that. But again, that's part of the assessment process. And sometimes the smaller screens are better and sometimes they don't work as well. Again, that's part of the assessment process to find which one is best. But that's kind of a really quick overview of the various categories within the low vision. We call them video magnifiers. You may have heard of them called CCTVs, closed circuit television. All of those terms are synonymous and all describe the same type of technology, a camera and a screen to magnify hard copy print.
That's great, Mark. But how will you and the person know what's appropriate? Do you actually do assessments yourself?
Yeah, I do. So what we do is we meet with an individual and we're going to look at these various technologies. And the first thing we're going to do is find that size that works with a standard display, meaning black text on white. And we find the level of magnification that's required to be able to read comfortably. We're not interested in the minimum size. We're interested in the size. The way I describe it is if we were going to ask you to read for an hour, what level of magnification would you require? And we find that, then I have them read to me for a while so I know they're really able to see it as well as they are saying they can. And we're watching for squinting and leaning in and eye strain to try to read it. But when we find that comfortable level, then we start adjusting the color and the contrast and looking at the lighting around. I just had this happen the other day. One person required an inch and a quarter magnification in the beginning of that process. And when they found the comfortable spot, they could reduce the level down to 3/4 of an inch. So it wasn't quite a 50% decrease, but it was pretty close and pretty dramatic. And for them as well. And they had no idea that white text on a black background was actually better for them. They'd never seen that kind of display before.
Mark, what happens when a person gets to the point where he or she just can't see that screen well enough, can't make it out, it's fuzzy, it just isn't working? What's your next step?
Yeah, there's usually when people are reaching that point where they're needing higher levels of magnification, most often there's a fatigue factor that happens. So yes, they can read the print when it's a quarter inch or a half inch or a full inch or whatever, but maybe they can read it for 10 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or 3 hours, but the workday is 8 hours. So we need to get them through 8 hours worth of work. Or like you were saying, Bob, they just can't, they can see it, but they just really can't use it very effectively. That's when we introduce speech output. And so what happens is the speech output means the computer is going to talk, it's going to read to the individual, and it augments the magnification. So they are using their vision to do some things that require less visual energy or focus. Say, for example, identifying an icon or a menu item or something like that. But then letting the computer do the hard work, the heavy lifting, the I need to read this long article kind of work, and let the computer do that for them by reading the text to them. If they have a vision condition that changes, so now over time they lose a little more vision and then a little more vision and then a little more vision, which is what happened to me, they start to rely more on the speech and less on the magnification. And it becomes a transition of moving from the magnification, starting to use a little speech, using more speech, using less magnification, more speech, until they're relying completely on speech output technology. Now, hopefully, in that process, they're also learning Braille so that when they get to that place where speech output technology becomes what we call their primary modality, their way of accessing printed information, they can also use what's called an electronic Braille display. An electronic Braille display displays the text that's displayed on a screen in Braille. So if you imagine a word processing screen, for example. You have a text, you know, the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog, and the cursor's there on that line, and then they press the down arrow key and the cursor moves down to the next line of text. Everything on that display changes and it displays that line of text. And so they have then two sensory inputs for outputs that they are reading from. One is auditory and one is tactile. And Braille is very powerful in finding formatting errors or issues with the text that speech doesn't tell you about very well or very easily. So Braille is a great augmentation to speech output. Now, on the other hand, when we talk about people who have never had vision and they learn to use Braille when they were a young child, they will start off using Braille on the computer. They may use speech to go with it, but there are many people who are so good at Braille that they just don't use the speech at all. The speech program drives the Braille display, so the speech software has to be there, but the auditory output can be turned off so that all that is used is Braille. And that's how they get all of the information from the computer, and it can be the way that they input the information back into the computer also. They can use the keyboard from the computer, or they can use the Braille style keyboard that's on the display and actually input using Braille, but it comes out on the screen in print.
That's terrific, Mark. Especially, go ahead.
I was saying, I know that in some cases, people are intimidating by the speech and stuff like that, and they don't like it. So if people want to have a better speech so they can get used to it and stuff like that, there is ways to do that or not?
Oh, yeah. So there's part of the speech software that makes it talk is called a synthesizer. It's built into the program. And there are many brands and generations of speech synthesizers. The older ones sound very robotic. The newer ones are much more human-like. In fact, if you've been at the airport in Phoenix, I don't know if it's in all of the terminals.
Yes,
but
it is. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay, all of the terminals. The announcements that you hear about, you know, Joe Schmo, you're wanted at the whatever desk, customer service desk, that's all synthesized. And most people don't even know it's a human. And that same synthesizer is available for use in the PC. So yes, it can be intimidating at first. You hear that speech, you think, oh, I can't understand that. I promise you, in a day, 2 days, a week, week and a half, 2 weeks, you will be very comfortable with it and have no problems with it whatsoever.
Mark, when you do the assessment, do you also give people an opportunity to look at different items, different styles, different pieces of technology so you can help them make a choice?
Yes. Well, in fact, I thank you for asking me that, because I don't know why, but it reminded me of the category of magnification I left out. So let me first answer your question. The answer is yes. We show all of the categories that I showed or talked about. I didn't show anything that I talked about in magnification. When we're talking about Braille displays, there's three different ones that we show. We show the handheld, we show the portable, we show the more what I call totable. It's really rare that we get into the desktop conversation now, because most people just don't want to talk about it. Almost everyone is into, I want to be more portable. Now, that said, we have it with us. It's just that if we talk about it to someone and they say, I'm not interested in a device that I can't just easily move around, we don't go there. If they are, then we show it. There's a category of magnification I didn't cover. It's a new emerging category called wearable. And these devices you actually wear on your head, and it places little tiny screens right in front of your eyes, within an inch or so of your eyes. And so when it's that close, it looks like a giant screen to you. And these devices, it's really interesting. There's kind of no middle. People either absolutely love them or they absolutely hate them, which is just kind of an interesting factoid. But the people who love them a lot, to the point where we've had people cry because they see things they haven't seen for a really long time. We put one of these devices on a man a while back, and he ran out of the room and into the room where his wife was because he wanted to see her face again. That was pretty emotional. I forgot that one category.
Well, that's cool, but let me say, if people are looking at things and helping to see what works for them or not, then they say, well, this is pretty cool, but it looks pretty complex. I can't learn this in one sitting. What happens then?
So the magnification devices, those are all pretty easy to use and can be learned in an hour or two, or maybe a couple more. Technology like speech output, the Braille displays, and category we haven't talked about yet called OCR, do require ongoing training. And we provide that training at a rate hourly, depending on the individual's needs. And sometimes that can be paid for by the state VR agencies. Sometimes it can't. When it can, obviously, then that's the best route to go. When it can't, then we do training via private pay as well. Would you like me to talk about the OCR technology?
In the time we have left, that would be a good thing to touch on.
Okay. So OCR technology stands for, the OCR stands for optical character recognition. It's kind of simple in that what it's doing is there's a camera or a scanner that's taking a picture of the printed page. That picture is then converted into computer text that a screen reader that we've talked about, the technology that reads from the computer screen, can read, and it reads it out to you. This can be done via a scanner connected to a computer. It can be done using devices that stand alone, and that's all they do. Just sits on a desk. You put a piece of paper next to it or under it. It takes a picture and it starts reading it to you automatically. And more apps are coming out now with this kind of technology built into phones, like iPhone and Android phones. And there's pros and cons to all of those, PC-based, standalone, and apps. But that going through all of that would take more time than we have today.
So, Mark, if people want to get hold of you and get more information about your services and the different types of technologies, how can they hold of you?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so the best way to reach me, I'm not as good at voicemail, I'll be honest. I'm not as good about voicemail as I am email and text. But my email address is Mark with a K, M-A-R-K, at mydigitalapex.com. So Mark at my digital apex, apex is apex.com. And my phone number is 480-286-6537. And our web address, which I'm hesitant to give you, we're in the process of redoing our website. So when you see our website, just know that. The website address is mydigitalapex.com. Same thing, apex is APEX. So mydigitalapex.com.
Be in the 2 minutes that we have left for Mark to tell us all we want to know, is there something that you'd like to have him emphasize?
Well, again, the assistive technology that people are using, who are
totally blind or low vision, it's, you are able to pretty much provide all the technology for both conditions, correct?
Yeah, we provide technology for people who are moderately visually impaired all the way through total blindness. I am totally blind myself. I have what's called retinitis pigmentosa. So I've been through that entire vision loss process. So I bring that to this whole thing as well. So I know what it's like emotionally, and I know what it's like to use all of those technologies and understand how the technologies help in that full continuum of vision loss.
It's great. It's great to learn and select from and work with someone who's actually gone through the blinding process and is capable and comfortable with it. I'm sure you are inspiring the people that you work with.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I hope so.
Well, Mark, we really appreciate you being here and actually, you know, basically explaining the different types of technology. I am pretty sure people out there are happy to hear, you know, that, as they said, there's always, what do you call it, the road at the end of the...
There's a road at the end of the light, right?
There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, or the end of the road, you know, that there is actually a way to find something that it's always going to accommodate us. Thank you.
It's absolutely true. And thank you for letting me spend some time telling you about it. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm sure that you're going to be getting phone calls from people saying, I heard you on the radio.
We'll see. Good deal.
Okay.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And join us next month for the Assistive Technology and the Desert podcast.